Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And so I hope you got your cup of joe ready to go. I got about four in me this morning, so I might be a little bit amped up. I hope you have the Word of God as well as we're continuing our journey through the book of Matthew. And great news, today, hopefully, we're finishing Matthew chapter 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is going to really say, the big takeaway for the day today is this. Jesus is going to say this. You know, there's two types of people in the world. There's people who hear and do the word, and then there's everybody else. And so this morning, you have to figure out, who are you? Are you someone who hears and does the word of God? Or are you just like everybody else? And so that's the challenge. And so before we get into our text, I need to frame something out here this morning. And so I always like to do it with a story. And I'm going to share the story. Years ago, my brother-in-law, he's a real outdoorsy guy. You know what I mean? He lives way up in northern Canada. I mean, way up where there's like moose and bear and that kind of stuff. And he called me and he's like, bro, we're going on a fishing trip. We want you to come, man. And I'm like, bro, I'm there. I'm there with you. I really didn't want to go, but I didn't want to lose my man card, right? And so my brother-in-law, he says, it's going to be amazing, man. And we might see some bear and we're going to do some fishing. And so he says, one thing you need to bring. You have to bring a 5-star sleeping bag. And I'm like, no problem, bro. I'll bring one. Didn't even know what a 5-star sleeping bag was. And so as I'm packing up to fly up to Canada to do this trip, I don't even have a sleeping bag, but my daughters did. And so I proceeded to take my daughter's Beauty and the Beast sleeping bag up to Northern Ontario. And we got up to the camp and it was real manly. I'm telling you, it was fun for a minute. You know, we were up there, we grew man beards, you know, we wore flannel, we got to pee out in the woods and it was fun, right? Until the first night there, I can't begin to tell you how cold it was. The lake had frozen over. I'm laying in this Beauty and the Beast sleeping bag asking Jesus to kill me. Fortunately, my brother-in-law knew I was a knucklehead, didn't know what I was doing. And so later that night, he gave me a 5-star sleeping bag. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And I tell you that story this morning for this reason. Do you know that sleeping bag, that Beauty and the Beast was insufficient when really the cold of the night moved in. And Jesus's big idea this morning is this, is that, do you know, if you're just someone who hears the word of God but doesn't do it, it's going to be insufficient when the storms of life hit you. But if you'll determine to be a man or a woman who says, man, I'm going to hear the word and I'm going to do it, Jesus assures us of this. You're going to stormproof your life. You're going to stormproof it. And so if you have a Bible, before we get into our Matthew text, I want to read a sister text right next door in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, Jesus is going to say something. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard it before. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And so I don't know, before we read the text, I want to highlight this is, I'm not sure how many of you like engage in nicknames, you know, and in athletics, everybody's just got a nickname. You don't even know a dude's real name. In fact, here, even at our church, many of you know Hack. And Hack is just a great dude at our church. And I remember I'd known Hack for about 9 months, and I was taking him to join me at the New York Jets Bible study. And as we're driving there, I'm like, bro, I'm going to have to introduce you. I don't know your name. And so come to find out his name is Paul. Okay. And so, but nicknames, they can be endearing. My daughters, I call my daughter Cassie. Her name is Bear. She's Cassie Bear. My youngest, Lizzie, she's Lizzie Lou Who. So I call her Lou. And then your spouse, man, I hope you have nicknames, endearing nicknames for your spouse. And so my wife, Susan, man, she's babes or sweets, or on most days, I'm going to call her beauty. But here's what would be really odd. If I was to see you on a Sunday morning and I called you beauty, hey, beauty, what's up, sweets? It's kind of creepy, right? And why? You know why? Because you're not beauty and you're not sweets. That's my wife, Susan. And so that's the big idea Jesus is going to say here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when I'm not? Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus, he says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, and this is important, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house, and it could not shake it because it had been built well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And now, so notice this, my highlight for Luke, if you want to live a stormproof life, you have to go deep with God. You have to dig deep and lay a foundation. Now we'll be in our text in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll go to work. Matthew 7, I'm going to read verses 24 to 27, and with this we'll close out the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so I need you to see this morning. Like, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is basically, everything he said on the Sermon on the Mount, it's going to come to a crescendo here. And it's all going to pivot and turn on this one principle. And here's what it is. You can hear everything that I say, but if you don't do it, what good is it? But if you'll be a hearer and a doer, you'll absolutely stormproof your life. And so let's kind of break our text down this morning. Here's a few things I want to highlight. Number one is this. The storms of life come for everyone. They just do. The storms of life come for everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. And so that should, if you're a follower of Christ, maybe you've heard this question before. You know, if God is so good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? And listen, right off the bat, the Bible addresses this. Like, the Bible doesn't run away from this question, and neither should you. And so it's going to answer us by Genesis 3, all right? But before I get to Genesis 3, I want to show you, I believe Tommy Boy can help us understand why there's evil and suffering in the world. Check it out.
She's a court low.
Oh, yeah? Then guess what? Open it back up and put it in. That's your penance for the puppet show back there. And while you're at it, fill it up with gas, okay? I'm going to go ask directions to our next huge, embarrassing failure.
You're a huge, embarrassing failure.
What?
Nothing.
No, son of a...
Repeat.
Well, it's got to be on the map, Davenport, I mean, because you say it's 22 miles away. And you're really smart, yet it's not on the map.
I'm picking up your sarcasm.
Well, I should hope so, because I'm laying it on pretty thick. Okay, how much are you for gas?
You didn't pump any.
What? Hey, Hey, why don't you pump any gas?
They're all out. They only got diesel. Better go to the next station.
What'd you do?
Hey, was that hysterical? What did you do? And here's why I frame the idea of evil and suffering with that clip. See, how crazy is it that you and I, that through sin and rebellion, we break and shatter the world, and then we ask God, what did you do? Why did you allow this? So you're asking the wrong question. See, in Genesis 1, we learn immediately that everything God creates, it's good. In fact, he creates humanity, and he says, this is very good. And so we see that God created the entire cosmos in something that theologians call shalom. And shalom, it means peace. It means there's nothing broken, and there's nothing lacking. But then we see Genesis 3, another season occurs, and that's this. It's called the fall. And that's where Adam and Eve rebel against God. They eat of the forbidden fruit. And now suddenly sin is introduced into the cosmos and it shatters shalom. And it's ironic that you and I as sinners, we ask God, what did you do? Why are you allowing this? When do you know that God actually asked that question in Genesis 3? When Adam and Eve sin, what God asked them is this, what have you done? See, he says, because we've rebelled and introduced sin into the cosmos, God says this, the creation, it's cursed. It's cursed. And so why is there evil and suffering? Because we're living under a cursed, a fallen world. But here's what we can learn from this. Like the fact that when you hear and do the word, we realize this, there's shalom and blessing. But when you hear and don't do or disobey, what? There's cursing, there's death, there's sin, and there's sorrow. See, etched on the fabric of creation is this idea that as you hear and do, the blessing will follow. But listen, I still want you to see the goodness of God, even living in a fallen world. Do you know why the curse is real? Did you notice this? The curse is real, but it's not constant. Like, do you see how even in a fallen world that God creates space of love, of joy, of laughter? And so how good is God that despite the fact that the world's broken, he's sure to provide common grace to people? And so really, when something bad happens, you shouldn't say, God, how could you? It's when something good happens. You should say, God, how could you? How could you? I love James chapter 1, verse 17. Do you know James, that wrote the book of James towards the end of your Bible, that James was the Lord's brother? And in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord's brother says this, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And so I believe that James learned this from his big brother Jesus, that Jesus, as he walked the earth, that he was continually thanking God for things great and small. That whenever Jesus went out and there was a nice day, he was like, thank you, Father, because every good gift comes from above. Every good meal that Jesus ate, he was like, oh, thank you, Father. Every moment of laughter, oh, thank you, Father. See, I believe Jesus was so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving towards the Father, it became infectious. It became contagious. Jesus was the type of man you wanted to be around. Have you ever been around that individual that's always positive and thankful? Aren't you drawn to that person? And then conversely, we've all been around Debbie Downer, wah, 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 like everything stinks, this is not so good, blah, blah, blah. And what? You don't want to be around that person. And so here's my appeal. Listen, if you're a member of Every Nation New Jersey, we're going to be grateful, thankful people like Jesus. Here's point number two is this. Storms reveal what you really believe. Storms reveal what you really believe. If you remember, Jesus said to the 12 disciples, hey, you're all going to abandon me and desert me when I'm arrested and taken to the cross. And they're all like, no, 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 no. And then especially Peter rises up and said, God, I will never. In fact, I will even die. And Jesus is like, huh, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And you remember the third time, as he denied Jesus, cursing. Do you remember the rooster crowed and Peter ran off in shame? Listen, nobody was more surprised than Peter, because the storms of life reveal what you really believe and not just what you say you believe. Point number three is this, that storms reveal what materials you're building with. Storms reveal what materials you're building your life with. And so, are you building with the ways of this world, or are you building with the words of God? Those are your only two options. And so, in Genesis chapter 11, we get what's known as the Tower of Babel. And if you're familiar with your Bible, it comes right off the heels of the flood. And so now sinful humanity says, I'm going to build a great tower. This way, if God tries to flood the world again, that we can go up to the heights of the Tower of Babel. It was basically giving God the finger. But if you're also familiar with your story, you know that Moses is the author, and he's writing this to a Jewish audience that had spent their entire life building things, building all the buildings and the pyramids of Egypt. And so they were familiar with how to build things that will last. And in Genesis 11, it talks about the materials they used to build the Tower of Babel. And this is fascinating. Listen to this. It says this, that they used brick instead of stone, and they used tar instead of mortar. And you know what? The Jewish audience that would hear that, they would start cracking up laughing. Like, have you ever seen those movies that you see them the first time and they're kind of funny, but then when you watch them again, you pick up more things and it gets a little more funny and a little more funny and a little more funny the more and more you watch it. You know, the Bible is like that. Like, you start to pick up things, and this is Moses kind of making fun of just the idiocy. I don't know if that's a word, but it is this morning. The idiocy of those building the Tower of Babel. Because here's what the Jewish audience would have known, that bricks are not as strong as stone, and that tar is subservient. It's not as strong as mortar. And so they're easier to work with, but they just don't last. And so you have a decision to make. Like, you can build your life with these inferior materials. They're easier, but I promise you this, when the storms of life hit, they just won't last. They will betray you. Let's look at this, point number four. Hear and do people dig deep. Did you get that? Hear and do people, they dig deep. They go deep with Almighty God. And so, listen, when the storms of life hit you, and they come for everybody, when the storms of life hit you, you're going to need more than some pithy saying you heard at church or from some TV evangelist, right? How are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. God is good all the time, right? Listen, those words will be insufficient for you when the storms of life hit. Here's what you're going to need. Man, you are going to need the life-giving words of God, and you're going to have to hear it, speak it, believe it, let it drop down in your heart until you feel it and you believe it and you live it. It changes who you are. You have to allow the words of God to go deep, to dig deep in your heart. So right now, currently the Olympic Games are going on in Tokyo, and do you know that consistently when it pertains to the United States of America, like the pinnacle of Olympic moments for USA is the 1980 U.S. Olympic ice hockey team. If you remember that, the Miracle on Ice. And they did a fantastic movie called Miracle, and Kurt Russell plays the iconic coach Herb Brooks, and there's this fascinating scene where Team USA, as they're assembling their team and playing exhibition games, they just stunk it up one night against a team and they lost. And Herb Brooks is not going to have it. He knows they're called to greatness. And so here's what he realizes, that each of these players, they're playing as separate individuals and they don't know who they are. And so Coach Herb Brooks is going to skate these men and drive a message home who they are. Let's watch the clip.
This cannot be a team of common men, because common men go nowhere. You have to be uncommon. Again.
Herb, this has gone on long enough.
Everybody on that line.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Everybody get on that line. Hey. Again. Again. Herb. Come on, Craig, blow the whistle. Again.
Michael Ruzioni! Went through Massachusetts!
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America!
That's all, gentlemen.
Come on, was that amazing? Again, again. It was like Coach Herb Brooks just wanted to beat it into them until finally something snapped. And Mike Ruzioni, who had become the captain of Team USA, it was like again and again until finally something clicked in his heart, and he realized, who am I? I am a member of Team USA. And it dropped. And suddenly their identity changed. And when their identity changed, their activity followed. And they went on what? To win the gold medal. And so, listen, I became a Christian at probably about the age of 11 or 12. And I was very nominal, you know, growing up, struggling as a young teenage boy would. And you know what? I hit this point, probably about 17 years old, where I just kept losing in the Christian life. Do you know what I mean? Like I kept saying, oh God, I'll never do that again. And I'd go out and do the same thing over and over again until finally I just got so sick of losing in the Christian life. I made a deal with God. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I promised. I'm like, God, I'm going to read one chapter of your word every night for the rest of my life. I'm going to read one chapter, just one per day, but I'm going to do it consistently for the rest of my life. And here's what began to happen. The first time I read it, I read one chapter of the Bible, had no idea what they were talking about, but I did it again. And then I would go out that night. I'd say, oh God, I'm so sorry. I repent. And I would get into the word again. And then the next night I would go out, I would drink too much, I'd feel like garbage, and I'd repent. I'd say, look, but I would get in that word again and again and again. I would read the word of God until something, and I don't even know when it happened, started to shift on the inside of me, and my identity in Christ began to change. And when my identity began to change, my activity began to change. And now suddenly the sinful life that had its hold on me began to lose its grip. And all because why? You're in the Word, going deep again and again and again. And it's funny, to this day, I'm 52 years old. I still can remember I'd carry my Bible on the team plane when we'd fly to play hockey games, and the guys would bust my chops for bringing my Bible with me. One of them asked me, they're like, Ads, haven't you finished reading that book yet? And I'm like, bro, it doesn't work like that. And listen, I'm 52 years old now, and I'm still again and again reading the Word of God. It's going deep that I'm building my life upon the rock. You know, in Acts chapter 19 tells this amazing story. They need to make a movie about this one. And so it tells of the seven sons of Sceva. These were Jewish exorcists, seven sons, and they were trying to cast a demon out of this demon-possessed man. And so these seven sons weren't Christians, but they had seen the power on the life of the disciples. And so in an attempt to cast the demon out of this man, they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And get this, the demon turns, looks at them, and speaks. And he says, Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul. But they said this, but who are you? Are you kidding me? Like a demon-possessed dude asked you, who are you? You better know the answer to that question. You better have dug deep with the Word of God, because what would bubble up out of the inside of you? Let me tell you who I am. I am a son of the Most High God, that the Spirit of Christ that was raised from the dead dwells on the inside of me. He's the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Boom! Mic drop. You better know who you are. You need to dig deep in your life. Here's a next point is this. You need to hear and just do it. Hear and just do it. And let me explain. Hopefully this will help. I've shared, I had a lot of hockey fights, and I didn't win very many of them. In fact, here's another loss. I was fighting one guy by the name of Rick Tockett, much tougher than me. And as we were fighting, he switched hands and he hit me with the left, and he shattered the left side of my face. And so it took 5 hours of reconstructive surgery, and they had to rebuild the floor of my eye socket. And so something happened when they rebuilt the floor of my eye socket. Suddenly what happened, my eye would stick and it would get stuck. And so what would happen, I would get double vision and I would have vertigo on the ice or when I was trying to train. And when you get vertigo, you just get unbalanced and unsafe. And here's what, you know, that the Bible is going to say this, that a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. And so who are you going to be? Because I think many of us, when we examine our lives, we have one eye on Jesus and one eye on the world, and it's given you a spiritual vertigo, and you have no strength and power. And when the storms of life hit you, it will be insufficient. And so I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you this morning, man, let's choose to be the Jesus guy. Let's choose to be the Jesus girl. Listen, just do it. Just do it. I don't know if you remember that Just Do It Nike campaign. It earned the Nike Corporation's billions and billions of dollars. But I don't know if you've heard the backstory. Is the advertising agency that came up with the campaign Just Do It. Here's how they got it. Do you know that there was a serial killer? Was finally arrested. He was sentenced to death by a firing squad. And so this criminal, as he faced his executioners, they asked if he had any last requests. And this hardened criminal just said, "Let's do this." And then they executed him. It's kind of creepy, right? Kind of morbid. They took the "Let's do it" and just changed it to "Just do it." But listen, this morning, I think this is unbelievably applicable. Like, while it may be more morbid, it's applicable. Because listen, if you are going to just do it and follow Jesus, you know, something is going to have to die so that something else can live. And so you're going to have to say no to your flesh so that you can say yes to Jesus. No to the world, that you can say yes to Jesus. But here's the assurance that every time we say yes and take a step towards Jesus, Jesus promises us this in the book of Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give that to you. Hear and do again and again and again that we need to take a step towards Jesus. And here's my sixth and my last point is this. You'll hear and do more together. You'll hear and do more than you could imagine together with other people. And so I was reading the book of Nehemiah in your Old Testament, and if you don't know that Nehemiah is the story of the building of the wall around Jerusalem, rebuilding the wall, and it's fascinating how everybody, rich and poor, the baker, the priest, the lawyer, they side by side, they join together to build this great wall. And as you're reading the book of Nehemiah, there's portions of it that, if I'm going to shoot you straight, can just be pretty boring. You know, it's like reading the phone book. So-and-so, built by so-and-so, built by so-and-so, built by so-and-so. And you're like, yeah, whatever. But as I was reading, just an amazing verse jumped off the page to me. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 16. It says this: they rebuilt the house of heroes. Like, I read that, I'm like, the house of heroes? What is that? I've never heard of that. I need to find out what that is. And so I'm immediately going through all my concordances and all my logos, Bible software, and come to find out the house of heroes was where David housed his mighty men. And I believe this, that God Almighty is rebuilding the house of heroes today. Like, listen, the churches like around the globe that this during this quarantine, they've taken a hit. But on the other side of this pandemic, I promise you this, that God is rebuilding the house of heroes. He's rebuilding his church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we won't look at it, but here's what it says. It says that you and I, we're like living stones that Jesus is putting together and building a spiritual house. He calls us living stones. Here, it doesn't mean much to you and I, but to the first century, here's what it meant, that a living stone was one that was put together with other stones. It was connected closely with other stones, whereas a stone on the ground by itself was a dead stone. And you and I, when God puts us together in his church, in his body, he's building a spiritual house for himself. We are a living stone. And so Jesus, he begins by taking 12 men, these dead stones, and he begins to put them together. He spends 3 years with these 12 men, Jesus pouring into these men sharpening one another as they do life together. Do you know Malcolm Gladwell in his book called Outliers? He says this, that research shows that if you want to become an expert at anything, it takes 10,000 hours of practice. And how crazy is it? That if you were to take the life of Jesus with these disciples, do you know it would be about 3 years, would equal about 10,000 hours if you include Sabbath and feast days. That 10,000 hours, these men were being sharpened. They were becoming the house of heroes. And this ragtag group of men would go from being a ragtag group to just being known as the 12. These were the men that was said of them, they're turning the world upside down. I would submit to you, they're turning the world right side up. Jesus is rebuilding the house of heroes as he puts us together. And listen, you'll hear and do more as we do it together with one another. You know, the book of Hebrews, it's written to a group of Jewish followers of Jesus that they were growing weary and tired, and they were just ready to quit. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Like it says that they stopped gathering together, but in so doing, they were robbing themselves of strength. And so the author of Hebrews wants to encourage them. We need to get back together because you'll hear and do more as we walk together. Check this out. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. This will be the last scripture we read. It says this: and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so, listen, you can survive on your own, but the appeal of Hebrews, man, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves. And so you don't have to go to church. You don't have to belong to a church. But I promise you this, you might be able to survive, but you'll never thrive. And you will never fulfill the plans and the purposes that God had for you. You know what you'll be like? On your own, you'll be like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Do you remember this movie? Hey, he survived. Yay. But here's what I know, that the storms of this life kicked the trash out of him, and he became extremely weird. Can we agree that when you're talking to a volleyball, you're weird? And it's been my experience, when people pull themselves and try to be a Lone Ranger Christian, life kicks the trash out of them, and to be honest, they all get a little bit weird. And so you've been designed as a living stone to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because we can do more together. And I love this. It says when we gather, we stir and we provoke one another to love and good works. And if you've ever worked out before, you know that's true. Like when you're out working out by yourself, yeah, it's pretty average executive workout, barely sweat. But when you work out with another, come on, you go next level. You go next level. I remember there's a gentleman, Chris Potter. Chris, if you're watching, brother, listen, well, we would work out together, and he used to run competitively the 800 meter. That's twice around an Olympic-sized track. And so it's an insane event. And so he and I would train in Manhattan around Central Park, and he would have us do these mile intervals. And so we would jog a mile, and then we would run a mile. We would jog a mile, and then we would run a mile. And we did it for 6 miles. And I remember the last mile to go, I was asking Jesus to kill me. You know, I got that little pain in your side, and you're like, oh, but I didn't want him to see it, because, man, we're provoking one another, man, to love and good works. And so I remember we're making the turn, and I can see the finish line. And all of a sudden, Chris, he looks up at me, and he says, PA, he says, you stay on my shoulder. I'm taking us home. And he went to the hit this gear that was unbelievable. And suddenly, I found a gear I didn't even know I had. And we crossed the finish line, and we had set a record time for ourselves. We beat all the other times that we had before. It was like I won an Olympic gold, man. I was so fired up. And I want you to know this, that as you are doing life together with other believers in the church, you're going to be provoked, and you're going to go further. You're going to go faster than you ever imagined possible. Jesus, he has two things to say today, that there's two types of people watching this morning. There's those who hear and do, and then there's everybody else. Who are you going to be? Let's pray. You know, I wonder if we could do this. I really had a burden to just ask the Holy Spirit to partner this morning. And I'm wondering if you could do this. You know, it might be weird. You know, you're watching online. I don't know who's around you. But would you be so bold as to maybe just shut your eyes for a moment? And would you just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what's a step I need to take? It doesn't need to be a huge step. It doesn't need to be multiple steps. But what is just one thing that you hear the Holy Spirit asking you to do, to take a step towards Jesus? Could you just take a moment and ask him that? And now let's pray. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are indeed a God who speaks. And Lord, I pray, God, as you've dropped in the spirits of men and women now, that step you want them to take towards you, Lord, I pray that you'd give them courage, that you'd give them grace and strength to do all that you've called them to do and be all you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. The sermon's done, but we're not quite finished. As always, I just want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. For those of you that are unfamiliar what a tithe is, a tithe simply means a tenth. 10 is the number of testing in the scriptures. And so it's a way that God tests our heart to see what's really inside. And so even as we've talked about taking a step, maybe for some of you, that step is to ease the grip off of your finances and to honor God. But here's the great news. God promises, as we honor him, that he's going to honor and care for us. And so there's three ways you can give financially to Every Nation New Jersey. The first is this. You can go to our website, ENCNJ. And as you go there, just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. My family and I give this way. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, It's an unbelievably convenient way to give. Or lastly, you can do it the old-fashioned way and just mail that in. You can address it to right here to our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you and care for you as you give. Last thought, do you know that we're here to serve you? And so if you need prayer or ministry, I want you to know that each and every Sunday at 11 a.m., we're available in our virtual Zoom ministry. And you can just call the number that should be coming up on the bottom of your screen every Sunday at 11 a.m., and you'll be there to meet with a pastor or a staff member that can minister to you or answer any questions you might have. Listen, Every Nation New Jersey, God loves you, and He's for you. And I think you're pretty spectacular as well. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.